There once was a little boy who, like many little kids, got as a gift a stuffed animal that became a constant companion for him over the years, and he carried this stuffed elephant with him everywhere. And as this boy faced the type of things that we all face in the world on our journey, he found himself in the midst of hurt and disappointment, and at different times would find himself resting and trusting in his friendly stuffed animal as these hurts and pains came his way. And as we do, as we experience these things, we kind of learn some different ways that we protect ourselves from this sort of hurt in life. And as this little boy looked to protect himself, he, without knowing it and entrusting in the safety of his stuffed animal, he began to develop what became for him an impenetrable defense for dealing with these wounds in life. And so what for many might be small life lessons, a parent's scolding, a young friend's taunt, a bully's comments that hit a little too close to home, for this boy, they became reasons for him to trust people less and less, and to rely on the safety of his stuffed animal more and more. Well, as this boy grew, eventually, as often happens, the stuffed animal kind of got forgotten and packed away with the rest of his children's things. But this pattern of protecting himself from the hurt of life continued, and he began to build a stronger and stronger fortress around his heart. When things like not getting the position on the sports team that he had worked for, or a good friend who kind of drifted away because they began to do different activities at school, and that first breakup when he found his heart broken for the first time, these sort of things that we all experience and need to learn how to navigate at some point in our lives, became for him just another reason to place a brick in that wall around his heart. By the time that this boy had become a young adult, his defenses were so staunch that he had a hard time overlooking anything. And even the things that might have gone unnoticed by most became the kind of slights that for him only further proved that others were not to be trusted. And without knowing, he spent much of his time and energy working on the barriers that would keep others out of his heart so that he might feel safe. And yet in the midst, somehow he knew his loneliness. I think maybe there's ways that we can all relate to this parable as we experience this world, and certain things in life confirm the importance of us at least having some protection for our emotions. Hopefully we don't go to the extreme that he did in building up barriers, but we all have done the work of protecting our hearts and separating it from others in different ways at different times. And I think in our scripture this morning from Mark, we have some indications that this man who encounters Jesus in today's scripture has erected some of these barriers around his own heart. As often happens when our hurts and our defenses get us close to Jesus, this man begins to feel a tension about the way that he had set his life up. And so as we begin to get into this morning's scripture, I wonder if there have been ways that we have protected our hearts in the deep places within us that maybe in the effort to try to make ourselves safe, we've protected ourselves from the love of God that so desperately wants to reach us. And this man understands that with as much as he has played the game of religion to the best of his ability, he knows even in the midst of that there's a connection that he wishes he had that was not made. And he was doing all of the right actions and following the laws of Moses. But beyond this religious practice, he seemed to lack a confidence about his connection to God. And that brings him to Jesus on this day. And so we see in this man's earnestness, in his humility, that Jesus responds to him with compassion. But it also points out that there's significance to the barrier that is keeping his heart from more fully engaging others. And so let's look back at some of the particulars of this passage that we've already heard this morning. Verse 17 starts us with this. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Now, we've just started this series in Mark that'll carry us through this summer, but one of the things that we'll kind of hold up and highlight is the way that as Mark writes this gospel, he loves action. He's showing us that to be around Jesus and to respond to Jesus is something that requires us to do something. And here in this man's action of running to Jesus and falling on his knees, we begin to see something about this man's heart in what Mark tells us. And so even in his humility, he somehow seems to miss the barrier that is ultimately separating his heart from Christ, who is right there with him. He doesn't come with a question about knowing God more in this life. This man comes to Jesus holding on to his solid practice of religion, where we find out shortly after that he's followed all the rules since he was young. Something else that probably had this man pretty secure. It was really common in that time and not all that uncommon today that if somebody has great wealth, they were viewed as being blessed by God. And so this man and others would have thought, wow, he must really have it together to be so wealthy, because that was a sign of God's blessing in his life. And so as he comes to Jesus, even with the desperation that we see, I imagine he feels like everything in his life at that point is fine. And so he comes to Jesus looking ahead. He doesn't seem to have that desperation for the right now, but he looks ahead. In looking ahead, he still carries this sense of what religion should be for him. And so again, it's not a question of how can I be closer to God, but he comes to Jesus with this question of religion. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to get God's gift? Not a question of how would I know God more, but what else do I have to accomplish in order to earn eternity for our God? And so this is why it's important for us to think about the barriers in our own hearts this morning as we look at this passage. And so this message of Jesus isn't just about what we do to earn eternal life, but what Jesus is really trying to help us see is that it's about accepting what God has accomplished for us on the cross. But even when it comes to letting our hearts experience and receive that love that reaches out to us from the cross, when we find the deepest parts of who we are surrounded by barriers, we can't fully accept God's grace to the extent that he desires it for us. And so there's something a little awkward about trying to connect and communicate through barriers, isn't there? And you may be able to hear my words, but there's something that would hold us back from more freely experiencing each other and finding the depths of what we might explore together. And so as God's grace works in us, we do need to consider the different ways that barriers hold us back today. Because Jesus' purpose in our life is not simply to get us into heaven and then to kind of leave us floundering around in this life until we get there. But Christ desires from us, we see this again and again in the New Testament, that we would experience life-transforming grace on this side of eternity. And so when we protect ourselves and our hearts, and we control the amount of access that we allow others in God to have to the places where we're hurting the worst, I think Jesus honors us in the way that he doesn't often push his way into those places in our heart unless we invite him to them. And this man, Iglesias, begins to model for us in his early actions of what it might look like for us to encounter God with an urgency. And so as we hear verse 17 again, it's the way that this man is letting Jesus close to him. And the barrier that is there that begins the depth of this conversation. And so again, verse 17, it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man did what? He ran up to him. And he did what? He fell on his knees. So there's this urgency for God to do something. And even though he asks this question about specific religious practice, there seems to be something working in his heart that God is up to on that day. But unfortunately, in the question about religious practice of what do I do, he gets stuck, and yet his invitation to Jesus sees a little bit more clearly through his action and not his words. The fact that he comes urgently, and Jesus can work with us in relationship. And so this urgency of him running and the humility of him falling invites God to do a work in the deeper places of his life. And so I wonder if you've ever had the experience of being desperate before God for something. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you knew whatever was going on, that Jesus was the only answer for you, that Christ was your only hope? Maybe you found yourself walking through an illness and even the doctors weren't quite sure how it was going to work out. Maybe you found yourself in the midst of broken relationship and you've kind of tried different things and you don't know what the next step might be. Maybe there's a situation at school or work that the answer just doesn't seem to be there. In those kind of places, we can find ourselves desperate in an appropriate way, trusting Christ to meet us as we walk through those things. And Jesus looks to meet us in those places, and yet the world tells us something very different. The world tries to tell us that we should never find ourselves in a place of any real need, to make sure that we don't have to depend on anyone else, even when things get tough. And so we let some of those ideas and those voices speak into us, and it only confirms this work of wanting to build barriers around the places within our hearts. And so I wonder for myself, and I wonder for each of us this morning, how might our life be different if we came before God with an urgency every morning? What if in your heart you ran to Jesus and humbly fell before him? But instead of asking how you might earn your way to a future reward on this day, what if you prayed with desperation? Jesus, how can I know more of you in my life today? What if we tried reading Scripture not from just trying to learn something more or being frustrated that we can't make all of the connections, but what if we learned went to Scripture with this kind of prayer? Jesus, let me know more of you through what I'm reading today. And we prayed that with a desperation because we know that it was crucial for us to know. If we worry about how Jesus might receive us by admitting our need, by letting him know that we're not as perfect as we think he might want us to be or expect us to be, I have good news for you, found in verse 21. So this man who still has so much to do in his walk with God verse 21 tells us this. Before Jesus gives him an answer, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looks at you and loves you. He knows the places where you're at. He knows the type of things that are too big for you to handle on your own. He doesn't hold that against you. He looks at you and he loves you. He wants to be with you in those places of your journey. Jesus looks at you and he loves you, but you know what else he sees when he looks at you? He sees the barriers. He sees the places where we try to protect ourselves, and maybe it was only started to protect ourselves from people, but our hearts are kind of fickle, and we may have defenses against other people, but ultimately they have an effect on our relationship with God, and they can keep Jesus out. And so Jesus looks at us and loves us, and he sees these barriers. And when he hears from us an invitation like he saw in the actions of this man who runs to him and falls before him on that day, I think Jesus hears an invitation to want to do more, to help point out to us what these barriers are that cause our hearts to not trust. Because again, it's hard for our hearts to distinguish between people in Jesus when it comes to trusting or not trusting. Jesus absolutely can see past the barrier, but who we see in Scripture seems to tell us that this Jesus won't push his way beyond there until we've asked him to help us with that. And so Jesus looks at this man that day, and he loves him, and he sees that it's his wealth that he had used to protect himself. And what is it within your own life that when Jesus sees you, he sees standing between your heart and him? What is it that keeps you from being able to earnestly and humbly pray, Jesus, how do I know more of you in my life today? This man comes with an initial question about inheriting eternal life. And as Jesus continues to talk, he turns it not just to eternal life, but he begins to talk about the kingdom of God. And so what is it to be within the kingdom of God? If this is a kind of a similar idea to eternal life, but maybe one that's a little bit bigger that Jesus is bringing up. And I think the invitation to be part of God's kingdom is not just in life eternal on the other side of these lives, but it includes the way that we walk with Christ each and every day. And so what is it to be in the kingdom of God? Well, I think it's to be in relationship with Jesus and to walk with him both in the next life and in this one. And while it's impossible for us to walk with God from our own power and strength, Jesus encourages the disciples and us with verse 27 when he says, "With God, all things are possible." And so whether it's things like our possession or our wealth or our pride and self-sufficiency, whatever other barrier we might have put up to try to protect ourselves from hurt and pain, these things hinder us from more fully entering into God's kingdom because they are ways that we say we are not fully accessible to who Jesus is. And we say, Jesus, I'll serve you and I'll follow you, but let's not mess with this part of my life that I have behind this barrier. I love you with everything, but can we just leave what I have hidden behind here? Can we just leave that alone? Barriers are the ways that we have trusted to protect our hearts. And we have different barriers for different reasons, but the invitation of Jesus is that we would let him be the protector and the holder of our hearts. And so the issue with Jesus is not just how will he get us into eternal life, but the issue with Jesus is will we trust him enough in the places that we think we most need to protect? Can we invite him in with an urgency and a desperation? As Christians, part of what it means to be people of faith is that we would trust Jesus for our eternities. Would we agree with that? I mean, that's a pretty huge thing, that God would hold all of eternity where we go ever after. And so if we can trust Jesus in that, which again, that's part of the definition of what it means to be a Christian, is that we've trusted God forever. Well, can we trust God with the today if we can trust him to hold our forever? How can we get desperate and trust Jesus with our right now? How about we fall before him and we invite him into those places that we most work to protect? That man who comes to Jesus that day goes away sad. Because as Jesus points to the barrier that had separated him, that was just too much for him to let go of. And we don't know how his story ends. I really love to trust in God's grace, and I love to think that this was just something that began and God continued to work on him and bring him along. But we ultimately don't know where his discipleship, if it continued or if it ended with that barrier of his wealth. But I think I need to believe that it's at least a possibility that he let Jesus on the other side of that barrier, because I need to know that for myself it's a possibility that eventually I will be able to let God beyond all of my barriers. And as your pastor, I need to be able to believe that whatever barrier you have from holding you back, that with God all things are possible, and that Jesus, with your invitation, can go beyond those barriers to the deepest places of your heart. And so the invitation that I hear from Mark's gospel this morning is, will we come before God in desperation? Will we be able to humble ourselves to ask, God, what is holding my heart back from more fully trusting you? Will we find ourselves in this place and in this time able to embrace Jesus in those deep places? Or will we, like this man and his wealth, walk away still holding what is keeping our hearts back? We find ourselves with an invitation to come before this table of Christ this morning. And this is a table for which God puts no barriers for us to receive. Jesus reminds us that he wants to live in unity and peace with us, and that he loves to meet us. And so even as he was about to experience the brokenness of his disciples who would run from him and desert him, he said, no, I'm there with you in it all. And even in the places where it may be painful and brokenness, he reminds us that this is his body, which is broken for us. And he asks us to do this in remembrance of him. When the supper was over that night, again, where he was about to give himself over to be poured out for us, he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. This is my new promise that I am poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. And so Jesus looks to remind us that even in the broken places and even in the places where we need forgiveness, that he joins us by being broken and poured out for us, to offer us life and healing. May we trust as we come to this table that God will meet us, that he sees us and loves us, that he's willing to go beyond our barriers if we would trust him enough to let him in. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we trust that you are here today, and I ask that our presence here would indicate an openness of our hearts, that we would find you pouring yourself into us. Lord, we thank you and pray for these gifts of bread and juice, and Lord, through your Spirit, we ask that you would make them the body and the blood of Jesus, that we would find ourselves the body of Christ, those who are forgiven by his blood, that we may be the body of Christ, those forgiven in ministry to this world. So at this table, unite us with you again. Bring us together as one community, and free us and send us as those who trust in mission to the broken and the lost. We thank you that you have gathered us here. May we open ourselves to you with urgency and trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.